This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Italy and Greece face big deadlines of budgets and bureaucracy.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media, in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now the global perspective on business and economics. More maneuvering in Greece and Italy today as the two countries try to dig themselves out of debt. Politicians in both places face major parliamentary tests today, in Italy for a budget and in Greece for a new government. Christopher Worth reports.
For Italian lawmakers, today's budget vote would normally be boring and procedural, but today will be anything but boring, because Italy's Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi is growing more unpopular by the day. The bill could fail, and if that happens, Berlusconi could be forced to step down. Meanwhile, in Greece, politicians are making noise that naming a new leader may take longer than expected. Simon Tilford is with the Center for European Reform. He says a best-case scenario would mean by the end of the day, both Italy and Greece have new leadership that has popular support. But even under those circumstances, it won't be smooth sailing.
People would quickly come to realize that just because Greece has cobbled together government doesn't mean it's going to be able to maintain support for the bailout package. So I don't think there's an upside, really. There's certainly a downside.
Today's worst-case scenario, no political resolution in Italy or Greece. Their borrowing costs continue to jump and worries that Europe may not have enough money to bail out Italy. In London, I'm Christopher Worth for Marketplace.
Moving on to Asia now, Japanese camera maker Olympus admits now it covered up huge losses dating all the way back to the 1980s. Executives reportedly paid inflated fees to advisors as part of that scheme, a reverse from earlier denials that the firm had done anything wrong. Olympus stock lost about a third of its value after the announcement. The BBC's Roland Burke is in Tokyo, where the company is based. Hey, Roland.
Hi.
Tell us what happened at Olympus.
Well, essentially what we're looking at here is possibly the largest corporate fraud, or one of them, in Japanese history. It all started back in mid-October when the British president and chief executive, Michael Woodford, who'd only been there 6 months, raised questions about a number of transactions. Olympus had paid $687 million in advisory fees to firms, one in the United States, one in the Cayman Islands. They'd bought three Japanese companies, small ones, for $1 billion nearly, and then written down the value several years later. For weeks now, Olympus has been saying nothing wrong, but now they've admitted that those payments were actually going to cover up huge losses they've been making in share dealing dating back to the 1990s, a massive incident of corporate misgovernance.
And some of these deals date back many, many years, Roland. I mean, how could this have gone on for so long?
I think that it raises the issue in Japan of corporate governance, of just how independent boards are, of just how willing people are who tend at the top of these companies to work for one firm for life to challenge other members of boards. Certainly for Olympus, they're paying a very heavy price. Today, their shares were down by 29%, the maximum allowed fall in a single day. And since all this began in mid-October, the company's lost 70% of its value. So its very survival is in doubt. And we are hearing reports here in Tokyo that the FBI is investigating as well.
The BBC's Roland Burke in Tokyo. Roland, thank you.
Thank you.
Let's do the numbers. Asian markets were mostly positive today, but Japan's Nikkei lost more than 1%. Japanese carmaker Toyota said profit fell by more than 18% in its last quarter. Over in Europe, shares are up between 1% and 2%. Wall Street yesterday, the Dow added 81 points, 0.7% to close at 12,068.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Atlantic Monthly Press, publisher of Worm, The First Digital World War by Mark Bowden, about the Configure Computer Worm and the battle to protect the Internet. By Reputation.com, helping small business owners, professionals, and executives monitor, protect, and improve their online reputations. Reputation.com. and by MassMutual, offering retirement and 401k plans to businesses for more than 60 years. MassMutual.com/retirestrong.
Today is a big day in the entertainment world. Not a new movie or television show, not even a Kardashian wedding or divorce. Instead, video game publisher Activision releases Modern Warfare 3, the latest in the Call of Duty series. Marketplace's Steve Henn reports on how big it could really be.
The video game series Call of Duty is one of the highest-grossing entertainment franchises of all time. The latest version, Modern Warfare 3, could out-earn the movie Titanic. And that's the movie that broke the billion-dollar barrier.
At 6:22, attacks were triggered across Europe.
Targets were key military and intelligence organizations.
Your job in the game is to help save Western civilization.
The symbols you have always looked to for strength are smoldering in ruin.
These games look real, and you can play with friends on a dedicated online social network called Call of Duty Elite. Fans who buy the game will drop at least $60, and on average will spend over 100 hours playing. Here's Eric Hirschberg, the CEO of Activision, at a conference in Cologne.
We as an industry are creating some of the most powerful and beloved pop cultural images and experiences of a generation.
They're selling the same stories again and again and again.
This is Call of Duty 8, I believe.
John Davidson's a vice president at GameSpot. He says the industry's addicted to sequels.
There are a number of games which, when you really kind of tot up the number of entries in the franchise that there have been, you know, there are some that are in double digits now.
But when you're asking legions of fans to spend hundreds of millions of dollars, it's dangerous to fall into a creative rut.
And because Call of Duty is in its, you know, eighth iteration, there was definitely some, let's call it, malaise.
Reviews have been a bit tepid. For now, though, this formula is still working for fans. Pre-orders for Modern Warfare 3 have been huge. In Silicon Valley, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
And finally, a maintenance man in Florida was checking the air ducts at a vacant house when he came across two aluminum foil-wrapped packets of cash totaling $20,000. Was it drug money? Nope. Organized crime? Nuh-uh. Elderly woman hiding her cash? Bingo! The home's last owner, a widower, had stashed her saved money throughout the house. Her plan was to tell all her kids where the money was before she died, but apparently she missed a spot. And now with the news of the big cash find in the air duct, police are worried greedy people might descend on the home and rip it apart. So they're not giving out the address. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
It's the third largest economy in Europe, and the smart bet says if Italy goes, so goes everything.
Stocks in Italy are plummeting.
Italy has one of the world's most heavily indebted governments.
Italy today is slamming Standard & Poor's for downgrading the country's credit rating.
I'm Bob Moon, Marketplace reports from Rome. Next time on the broadcast from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.